Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as I begin a message I've entitled The Hour of Our Visitation. Scripture declares that we as God's people are a company of believers. We are blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled, called out sons and daughters of God. Now, the world doesn't understand the language of a Christian. Perhaps you have some unsaved friends or work associates, and you can't speak to them as you do to fellow believers because you have a terminology that they can't relate to in some respects. And you're talking to a believer, they readily understand what you're referring to. And in some cases, actually nominal Christians, it's rather boring for them to talk about the power of God and the glory of God. The unregenerate mind cannot comprehend the things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2 and 11 states, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God." Verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God." The wonderful moment in time when the Holy Spirit was manifest on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in the pages of Acts, Jesus gave express instruction to his disciples that they were to tarry. They were not to go anywhere. They were to wait in Jerusalem. And he spoke of the coming, the promised Holy Spirit who the Father would send. And he said, "It's needful for you." They were sad. They were upset, and they were worried, and they were concerned because Jesus said he was going to leave them after they were so happy to see that he indeed has risen from the dead. But he said, "He's going to be just like me. He's going to be your teacher. He's going to be your comforter. He'll walk alongside of you. He will show you things to come. He will be all that I have been." And so when that occurred, cringing, fearful of disciples who were unlearned, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was the birth of the church. The Christian church that we know today is a result of their efforts, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then in the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. And this is the reason that so many are not in a very good place today. They have been taught erroneously or are trying with their carnal understanding to interpret scriptures. But when the Holy Spirit begins to move and the Word is revealed and is quickened to the understanding, they then begin to see the discrepancies they've been taught. People that are not saved, they read the Bible, and to them it's filled with contradictions. As intelligent, as bright as they might be, it doesn't truly make sense to them because their spirit man is not been born again. They're not alive. Spiritually, they're dead. And so often, it's hard to unlearn something. You know, we go through life and we have cherished opinions and perspectives and how we do things and how we look at things. And nonetheless, God is moving by His Spirit, and He wants us to be willing to change. And change is one of the hardest things for us to do, more so the older we get. But in spite of our our reluctance, in spite of our inability, there are multitudes in this hour which are coming alive in the Spirit of God. And there's a hunger in the hearts of people that God is going to satisfy. Recent surveys have said people are leaving church by the droves. Well, that's because, beloved, there has got to be reality. And in many places, it's a watered-down gospel. It's a social gospel. There's no power of God. There's not even a born-again experience. Many leave the seminaries and their faith is bankrupt. They're not even saved. Beloved, God is moving in his church, and everyone who names the name of the Lord, he's moving in a personal way in their lives to bring a revelation of the unveiled Christ. When I say unveiled Christ, it's the Christ of revelation, who Jesus is today. Beloved, that Greek word unveil, apokalypsis, revelation, the actual uncovering, the unveiling to our understanding, to our spiritual eyes, who Jesus is, and furthermore, who we are in him, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we are to be a living organism in the earth. We are his hands, his feet, his body, his mouthpiece, his eyes. We have the heart of the Lord. We have the mind of Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 14 tells us that we're crucified with Christ. Verse 9, for in him, in who? In Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Verse 10, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, praise God, as far as the east is from the west. And verse 14 says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Oh, beloved, Jesus has done so much for us. The message of the gospel, the salvation message, is simple. We cannot earn it. We simply, by faith, accept the sovereign work that God has done. It cost God everything. It's easy for us, but it cost God his only begotten Son, the most precious, the darling of heaven, was crucified. Amen. To bring us into a living reality and relationship with the Lord. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whomsoever should believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But then, because salvation truly is a free gift, then we are called upon to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Of course, it doesn't mean we can't earn. There's nothing we can add to our salvation. But there is a work of sanctification that the Holy Spirit does. And he does that by causing us to cooperate with him, that we submit our will. We're quite stubborn, rebellious creatures in our natural state. But as we, it is the love relationships that breaks down those barriers of self-will and unyieldedness. And oh, beloved, what a beautiful thing to surrender the most wonderful person of all, Jesus, who is the epitome of love, who is in him dwells the fullness of God. Oh, how magnificent, how marvelous Jesus is. Do you have a vision of who our Lord is? He's come to set you free, to transform your life, to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And as we feast on the word and we as we take it and eat and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it to our hearts, beloved, it becomes a banqueting table. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 declares, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." Beloved, we are being changed in preparation for a new anointing that is being poured out. He has given us the power of the kingdom according to his word, and it is ours for the taking. Praise God. I'm going to stop right here and ministering the word, and I just want to wait on the Lord. Father, I thank you for everyone who's listening. And Father, we sense in our spirit this an exciting, momentous time in which we're living. Lord, that you are pouring out your spirit upon all flesh. And Father, I pray for every listener who's crying out and hungry for more of you. Father, give us that revelation. Give us that passion for souls. Cause our hearts to break with what breaks yours, and equip us, Lord, to be your living epistles in these last days. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, "My beloved, yea, I lift you up. I lift you up out of troubled waters, and I cause your feet to be planted on solid ground, and you shall walk in the pathway that of my choosing, and you will not be turned aside. And even though you fall, it is the Lord who shall lift you up. And though it seems at times you may sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto you. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will make the way straight before your feet. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust me, and I shall make the way before you. And you shall rejoice, and you shall understand in due time why the Lord has dealt thusly with you, says your God." Thank you, Father. Father, we do express our trust. We don't know who holds tomorrow, about tomorrow, but we know who holds our hand, and we know we can commit safely all of our tomorrows into your hands. We love you, precious Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, the time has flown, and I must bring this broadcast to a close, but I do invite you to write and share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. If you choose to email, I will confirm receipt and pray for whatever need, but if you would like a more lengthy interaction, I invite you to share your mail address, and I will send a personal letter to you, and that I trust will be a blessing to your heart. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.